Good morning.
Praise the Lord.
I'm excited to be here this morning and to share a message from the Lord with you. Next week is exams week for my students at UNT. And a week from today will be commencement activities. Now, this is the time the students all of a sudden begin to pay attention to the things you've been talking to them about. And I guess as I'm getting older, I'm now beginning to think about the things that really matter. And so through all of that, that is where this message has come from. Am I listening to God and am I obeying God? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We have repeated here that God loves you, that God wants to communicate his love to you, and that God has sent you as his ambassador to the world and expects you to carry out your unique assignment. Thank you for the beautiful presentation you guys did. But as Franklin Graham and others have obeyed God, we see this manifestation of God's goodness. And perhaps he's got a little call on my life, a little place that I can obey him in my own unique way. So our God, the all-knowing, all-powerful, everlasting, unchanging God, has chosen you. Has chosen me to be his hands, his feet, his eyes. And we're going to talk about that this morning. We are his ambassadors here on earth. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the exciting call that you have on our lives, that we can be vessels that you work through. It blows my mind to think about that. That you, the all-powerful, all-knowing, everlasting, unchanging God, would choose me as a vessel to work through. So this morning, Lord, open our eyes to your call on our lives. Open our ears to hear you. And give us the grace to obey you. Thanks, Father. Speak as only you can. Let Jesus Christ be exalted and glorified. We pray in his name. Amen. So, as ambassadors for the Lord, we need to hear from him and communicate what he gives us to hear. Right? We are not here to do our own business. I've been joking around and I talk about the fact that when I read the Bible, God speaks through donkeys. And I'm happy to be that donkey, that he will speak through me and to others. But the scripture makes it very, very clear that God is speaking to us. Pastor Jim did a series on hearing the voice of God. I find that that voice is going on all the time. Am I tuning into that, to that signal? Am I hearing God? John 8:47 says that whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Ouch. My sheep hear my voice, John 10:27, and I know them and they follow me. John 14:26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Finally, John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Brothers and sisters, God is speaking to us all the time. He's left us this wonderful message here. And we need to be listening and hearing what he's saying. And not just that, but to act on what he asks us to do. The reason we need to hear from him daily, moment by moment, is that he has assignments for me. In our office, the grad school, in our office, sometimes the staff, one person is not present. And so we reassign, you go cover the front desk because this person is not there. In the same way, the Holy Spirit, the director of operations, has got an assignment for you for today. And you need to be tuning in to hear that assignment and then fulfill that assignment that he has for you. I have an administrative assistant. Tend to be very busy. And so she puts things on a calendar for me. And if it is not on my calendar, it doesn't exist. Meredith, you heard that, right? If it's not on my calendar, it doesn't exist. There are important meetings that I miss because it's not on my calendar. Now, my assistant knows that. So what she does is she sends me an email in the morning. Joseph, these are the things you have to do today. These are the meetings you have to go to, and these are the places where you have to go to. In the same way, the Lord God Almighty has left us his Holy Spirit, who reminds us. He reminds us continually, I love you. I am with you. I will not forsake you. You are not alone. He reminds us, I won't forsake you. And we need to tune into that and hear what he is saying to us. Oh, he has daily provisions for us. And then he has daily appointments for us. So we need to make an effort to listen. And when we hear, to act in obedience. This second part is what I want to focus on. Because many of us are good at hearing, but not good at following through. Remember when you were little, or maybe you as a parent, you look at your kids, you tell them to do something, and what happens? They're playing around. Yes, I can see the notes. And sometimes you have to hear, sometimes it's multiple times before they actually get to doing what you are calling them to do. I wonder whether we are like that with God. I wonder whether he has to get our attention by grabbing us and spanking us before we step out to do what he's called us to do. Jesus Christ was the perfect model of obedience. He obeyed the Father. This is what it says in Philippians 2. Obeyed as a servant, went to death, even death on a cross. And as his disciples, we follow Christ's example as well as his commands. Our motivation for obedience is love. Jesus commands us to obey, and he tells us that blessed are all those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. The scripture also commands us, James reminds us that we should not just listen to God's word, we must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself. Walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Brothers and sisters, I want to suggest to you that for the Christian, obedience isn't optional. I'm talking to you. Obeying God is not optional. It is a measure of our love for God. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. Do you love him? And yet you continue to play with that thing he's been speaking to you about and saying, stop this. Do you love him? He's been calling you to call that person and apologize to them. How long is it going to take? When? Are you going to stop in your stubborn disobedience? So obedience to God is a measure of our love for God. As I was preparing this, I was praying that God will bring to your memory, to your remembrance, specific areas in your life where he's called you to obedience, where you're probably procrastinating a little bit. The three things that I want to talk about in obedience. The first one is that partial obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. Remember the story of Saul. God called him through the prophet Samuel and said, I want you to go and wipe out the Amalekites because, this is what it says, I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. Saul said, yes, sir. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, near the eastern border of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely. Unwilling to destroy completely. But everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear? Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But we totally destroyed the rest. Enough! Samuel said to Saul, let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, and did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey the Lord. That's your kids, right? Saul said, I went on a mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder. The best of what was devoted to God in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. But Samuel said, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Brothers and sisters, I think if you're like me, you're probably a little bit guilty of that. Partial obedience. I think that was the problem of Ananias and Sapphira. They sold their wealth, the plot of land, and gave part of the money to God, and then pretended to Peter that they had brought all the money to God. I don't know what it is that you are partially obeying God for. Remember that our God sees everything. We cannot hide anything from Him. So, partial obedience is disobedience. God's not happy with that. I don't know whether you'd be happy, you tell your kid to clean the whatever, and they just pick a few things and leave the rest for you to go clean. Number two, delayed obedience is disobedience. God tells you to do something, you hear it very clearly, but then you procrastinate. You had an argument with your sweetheart, and he convinced you that you need to apologize. No, you don't want to. And so you delay, you delay, you delay. Delayed obedience is disobedience. So a long time ago when I was in college, I had some money. God gave me some money and I set some money aside and said, God, this is yours. One day I was sitting there studying, preparing for an exam, and I heard the Lord speak to me very clearly. Someone is going to come here the next 5 minutes. I want you to give them the money that you set aside for me. I said, yes, Lord. About 5 minutes later, my best friend comes in, and we talk about the wonderful things God is doing in our lives, and he leaves. I didn't give him the money. And then the Lord speaks to me, did you say that money was mine? I said, yes, Lord. Why didn't you give it out when I told you to? I said, Lord, I didn't think that he was the one you wanted me to give the money to. If he needed it, he would have told me. And the Lord said, I desire obedience, not sacrifice. So I left my room. I ran to the hall chapel. And when I got there, my usual spot where I go to kneel to pray, there was a hymn book open to the song, Trust and Obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus. I closed it. And then I went to sit at a different different place in the hall chapel. And the scripture was open to me at the scripture that I just read in 1 Samuel. And my eyes were stuck to that verse, to obey is better than sacrifice. I ran away from the hall chapel and I went to my room. And just as I got to my room, another one of our friends came in, and he said, and I just knelt before him and I said, brother, please pray for me. I've been disobedient to God and this is what's going on. And he said, God is wonderful. And I go, what do you mean? He said, Kwesi, the brother that I was talking about, he just left my room. He was in his room. He didn't have money for lunch. He prayed and the Lord told him to come to our hall and that he had made provision for him. And here's little Joseph standing in the way, failing to obey promptly. So he said, I shared my lunch with him and I prayed with him. So I gave him the money. I said, just go give it to him. I don't know whether you are delaying in your obedience. Sometimes for some of us, God gives you a word. Somebody has been praying and they need to hear that word. And God has entrusted that word to you. And you're second guessing yourself. What if God has not spoken this? Listen, delayed obedience is disobedience. When the Lord prompts you to pray for somebody, will you stop and do it right there and then? Delayed obedience is disobedience. How long will you delay? What if God responded to your needs at the same speed in which you obey him? When you get in trouble, you want God's help immediately. When God tells you to do something, he wants you to obey immediately. Psalm 119 verse 32 says, I will quickly obey your commands. Verse 60 of Psalm 119 says, without delay, I hurry to obey your commands. My prayer is that after you leave here, you make that phone call. Apologize to that brother or sister. Write that letter. Do not persist in delaying in your disobedience. The third message is that grumbling obedience is disobedience. Have you been there? You're going to do it, but you're not going to do it the happy heart. Grumbling obedience is disobedience. Philippians 2:14 through 16 says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault. In a crooked and depraved generation which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold firmly to the word of life. Grumbling obedience. Do you know what I'm talking about? I can see the notes. I remember one thing my mom told me. I think I'm getting older, so I now remember all the wisdom that my mom had when she was telling me. I didn't take those seriously. But I was good at trying to do some good things for various people. And typically we'd go to farm. There was a guy who liked some fruits, pawpaw, papaya. So I'll get one of those and I'll bring it to him. And sometimes in the process of carrying that, I'm complaining, I'm grumbling. It's too much work, it's too much work. And sometimes he even doesn't appreciate it. And my mom said, what you're doing is a good deed that doesn't please God. I wonder what it is that you are doing for God that you are grumbling and complaining about. Do you find yourself thinking nobody appreciates all that I do? Nobody appreciates how many details I manage, how much time I spend trying to make everything special. Remember a simple truth, God loves a cheerful giver, not a grumbler. He loves cheerful obedience, not murmuring and complaining obedience. Are you there? Guilty as charged. Such obedience, especially when things are hard, signals God's grace to us. A sign that is at work within us to produce an obedience that shines. An obedience that glorifies God, that makes God happy. So as you obey, do so all the way, right away, with a happy heart. Again, remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira? They did not fear God. They thought that they could just make a show of their giving. Ananias and Sapphira were punished with death for their pride and lies. Among other things, they didn't understand that humility is a fear of the Lord. God is not to be tested or trifled with. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these things. There's one other thing that he brought to my mind right now, and that is obedience must be specific. Jesus told Peter, follow me. And then Peter asked Jesus, what about John? You find this in John chapter 21, verse 15 through 22. Jesus told Peter, follow me. And he asked Jesus, what about John? And Jesus said, mind your own business. You do what I've given you to do. So, will you obey what he tells you and not pay attention to what he's telling me to do? God has a specific task with your name on it. The Holy Spirit has given you unique gifts and abilities, positioned you uniquely to be able to do something that nobody else can do. The church is a body. Maybe this person is a finger. This person is a thumb. If each of us will do what God is giving us to do, the body flourishes. Sometimes I'm looking at what I have to do, and I'm looking at John and what he has to do, and maybe I want to do what John wants to do, or vice versa. Will you be obedient to the specific task that God has on you? Obedience to God is a measure of our love for God. I've tried to communicate to you that for us Christians, obedience to God is mandatory, it is not optional. In Romans 1:18 through 32, we hear that God's anger or wrath is revealed against all forms of disobedience. You can relate to that as a parent, right? When your kids disobey you, do you welcome them with gladness? My little son Joe, is not little anymore. He's a trainer and he works with me 2 days a week. And every day after the workout, I am exhausted. I come in and Comfort teases me and says, "Do you want your mama?" I'm so wiped out. But this is what I think. I think that Joe is paying me back for the spanking he received when he was little. I'm wondering, are we setting ourselves up for God to have to discipline us? And he loves us too much to leave us the way we are. Let's contrast that with obedience. Remember the story of Abraham? God called Abraham and he told him to leave his people and go to a place he will show him. He simply did what God said to do. As Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Abraham's willingness to pack up his family and all his belongings to move to an unknown land is one of the first indications of his commitment to the Lord. Are you obeying God in what he has told you? Some of us want to get the whole picture before we start. No, take the first step of obedience and see him open additional doors as you go along. Maybe the Lord has spoken recently to you through his word about mending a relationship with a friend or a family member, or about meeting him faithfully every morning to get instructions for that day. In a daily quiet time, perhaps he has spoken to you about sharing Christ with a neighbor or co-worker. Perhaps he has spoken to you about a particular sin that you keep indulging in. And he's saying, "My son, stop. You're too good for this. I did not create you for this." Most of us don't have spectacular calls from God, but we can obediently answer all those ordinary calls. That ordinary call. My wife Comfort, sorry, boss. But she is good at, "I was going to tell you this." And every time is the Lord speaking to her. So when you hear that prompting, maybe pick up the phone and call that person. We can obey God in all those ordinary things. And that kind of obedience makes an impact on life. God called, Abraham obeyed, simple faith, simple obedience, extraordinary result. Now, remember the story of Pharaoh. Moses went and said, God says, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no. And Pharaoh hardened his heart, and God had to basically squish Pharaoh. Now, before we get too amazed at the hardness of Pharaoh's heart, we need to look inside ourselves. Perhaps the Lord has been speaking plainly to you through his word and his servants, but we haven't yet obeyed. I can't think of anything more dangerous, more foolhardy, than to hear the voice of God and do nothing in response. It tells us that we're smarter than he is. Shaking my fist in his face, continue to persist in that sin that he's been speaking to me about. May God deliver us from the Pharaoh syndrome and help us to obey when he speaks. At times, we act as if this life is all about us, our beliefs, our choices, and our actions. But it's God who will one day, hear this, bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. That's what it says in Romans 2:16. To his verdicts, there will be no appeal. When we obey God, we show our trust and our faith in him. Here's one little thing. What about the little tithe? He gives you so much and he says, bring this into my storehouse. And you go, God, no, I can't trust you with that. And so you do impartial obedience. At least I gave something. Partial obedience is disobedience. We can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commands, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's will truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know that we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did, in full obedience. So, I want you to reflect on your own life. Are you making time to hear from God? Are you listening? Or like our kids, I don't want to hear it. Remember, God sees you where you are. Last week I told you, he has your GPS location. He knows what you're going through. And he speaks to you to comfort and encourage you. He's nudging you towards obedience. He invites you to join him in his work. Will you step up and obey him? Let's go to him in prayer. I want you to right now just reflect, just quietly listen to God. What is that one step of obedience that he's calling you to? Confess to him. Ask him for grace to do what he has called you to do. He's got a task with your name on it. It's a specific relationship he wants you to mend. It's a specific sin he wants you to stop. Hear your father calling you. Son, come. Daughter, come. Let's fix this. He loves you too much to leave you in that state of sin and rebellion. This is why Jesus Christ went to the cross. And he's left you here with a specific assignment. And you've ignored that assignment and you're doing your own thing. He sees you exactly where you are. There's no hiding from him. Ananias and Sapphira could not hide their sin from him, and neither can you. Cry out to your Father. Confess your sin to him. And ask him for grace to help you to obey him fully, instantly, with cheerfulness. Remember that partial obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Grumbling obedience is disobedience. Master, we stand before you guilty. I am guilty, Lord. But I thank you that, Lord, you love us too much to leave us the way we are. And so, Lord, we cry to you that your Holy Spirit will continue to convict us. Father, I cry that you will grant us no peace until we repent, Lord, until we turn from our sin, O God. Lord, give us the grace to do what you call us to do, to obey you. That we will each do the specific thing you have assigned us. That your body will flourish. The church will flourish. Because I'm using the gifts you have given me, and everybody else is doing the same. Lord, help me to not look at others and what they are doing or not doing. Remembering that I am accountable to you for the gifts you have given me, and Father, that I will obey you and that you will receive the glory. I give you praise and thanks, Father, that you are speaking to us at this time, at this opportune time, this transition time, and you're calling your church to obedience, my God. Help us to step up in obedience to you. Grant us the boldness to do what you have called us to do. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I'm going to pray a blessing over you, but I want to tell you that the altars are open. If there is anyone of you who is so convicted that you want to talk to somebody, confess our sin and ask God to help you to obey. That's what the orders are for. We should not just hear the word and forget. We need to hear it and act on it. Let's stand and receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you. May his favor rest upon you. May he sustain and refresh you as you move forward in his obedience, in obedience to what he has called you. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Go in peace. God bless you. Amen.